Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Mason Dixon, joined once again by Corey, the Bayou Vendors. And this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs culture. All right, we are back again on a Monday. Apologize for that. Things are hectic.
Tell them why.
I am going to play the sympathy card and say that school is really stressful. And I may or may not have asked Corey if we could do the podcast a little later last night. And then proceeded to promptly fall asleep at my desk. So that one's on me. Apologize for that.
LOL. But it does...
What's that?
I was just singing LOL.
Well, but it does mean that we're able to talk about the preseason hockey game, talk about a big announcement for the Habs broadcasting team, kind of break down some other stuff we saw against the New Jersey Devils. So, you know, before we get into that, though, obviously, we're going to go through our little introductions. Corey, how was your week, man? How you been?
I was doing really good. I had the in-laws coming. They were supposed to come at the end of the week. They're not coming anymore. So our rush to clean this house up, like we had inspectors coming, is a lot more lighter. But we just did so much work already. But the house looks nice. So there's that. It was awesome. I did have a pretty relaxing weekend. I decided not to take any weekend work, and I am so thankful for that because my cousin worked Saturday morning. We brought out 105 kegs for Alligator Festival, which is under the Luling Bridge. And in 2 days, I think they killed 40 of those kegs. And depleted.
I thought you were about to say alligators.
Well, they did have fried alligator. But no.
Eat alligator?
No. Yeah. Have you not had alligator? It's delicious. It's.
Have I had alligator? Corey.
I'm sorry. You got to think, like, I'm so used to talking to people from down here. Or like relatively close.
I didn't know people ate gator.
Yeah, dude. You don't remember Swamp People?
I never watched.
You don't remember those? Okay. So alligators, like, big hunt. In this, I wouldn't say in Chalmette, but like in southern Louisiana, it's a big hunt. Very popular. I think you can have, you get up to 10 gators in a day, I think is the cutoff.
Day?
Yeah.
Why would you need more than 10 gators ever?
Well, so what happens is when you catch them, when you kill them, you sell the meat. And the skin, because you make, shoes or whatever, what have you, whatever you want gator skin for. Gator skin boots look sick. But yeah, so gator actually tastes pretty close to chicken, and it's delicious. You eat the gator tail, it's where all the muscles are. for the most part. Like that's, I think that's all of the gator. Only bit of gator I've ever had was probably just the tail, like the muscle. I've had gator sausage. I've had it in Boudin. I've had it most commonly, like gator bits, you know, like fried, like basically like little fried nuggets. Those are good. Gator's fire, dude. I'm not gonna lie, it's really good. Scary as shit. If you don't shoot this thing right, you're sending bones everywhere. Unreal.
Lovely.
Unreal. But yeah, gator's delicious. So we went through, like, we depleted all of our Michelob Ultra. So my cousin went in the morning to check the fair and ended up having to stay like an extra 3 hours because they had to do a keg delivery for another 35 kegs, 38 kegs, something like that. And we picked it up today and there was only of 100 and we'll say close to 150 now, 140, sure. Simple math. I think we only brought back 20 fulls.
Yeah.
Of 140. So these people drank, these gator, people, dude, these people drank their asses off. Sick logo too. I'll never work that event. He'll never work that event. Apparently he said it to my boss and they were just like, very, oh, that's hilarious. He's like, no, I will never work this event again. I will pass it every fucking time. But anyway, right, back to where, you know, I full circle. I'm glad I did not work this weekend. It was not worth the headache. And I watched movies. I watched Son-in-Law, which my wife hates because I say it's me and her because her family's from the country and I'm not. So, but yeah, I had a good weekend, bud. What a long way to say I just had a good weekend. I watched the new Andor Star Wars show. It's kind of cool. Spy-esque. I liked it. I thought episode one was a little tough, but they dropped three at once. So that was fun. Pretty good. Not going to lie. But yeah, Mason, I'll take this bus the wrong way. So you got to get us back on track.
Yeah. So no, good to hear you had a good weekend. sorry. Still getting over that frosh flu a little bit. However, the young guys, the freshmen on the hockey team played phenomenally. They certainly do not have a flu. They were out there flying tonight against the New Jersey Devils. In particular, big shout out to Owen Beck, who went like 75% off circle tonight. Playing in between Caulfield and Hoffman, did not look out of place, was far more dominant in the first and second period, but still played okay in the third.
Oh my God. But that pass from Caulfield to Beck was unreal. Oh, yeah.
Beck had a couple, hit two posts, had a couple really good scoring chances, played really well. I'd assume he's probably going to be out there for the next game against the Winnipeg Jets on Wednesday. He's probably going to play strong. This kid probably going to play himself into a contract here. You'd have to assume. I can't see the Habs not sending him back to the OHL. He's the draft class. Like, this is the draft class in the O that they missed their first. They missed their rookie year. Mm-hmm. Owen Beck was a rookie in the OHL last year. He needs to go back and dominate, I think. Look, could he play in the NHL if he continues to play the way he has? Absolutely. But will that be best for his development? Maybe not. It's not like we need him on the team. We're looking to lose games here, okay? We're looking to lose games here and develop our players
properly. Definitely let him play his games, but
if he earns the games, to play them.
Yeah.
But he's not playing more than 9. But send him back to the OHL.
Right.
Who else? Philip Mayshar was phenomenal.
Mayshar looked great.
Opportunity. Caden Gooley, Jordan Harris, phenomenal together. Obviously, there were some rookie mistakes, but both were displaying the attributes that had Habs fans salivating over them for the last 2 years. We saw Gooley and Harris, Gooley in particular, show off that smooth stride, that skating ability. Harris displayed his quickness, his agility, doing those little 360s, spinning off people, walking the blue line. Both of them were joining the rush and just really improving that transition game. They both played phenomenally. I think there obviously there were some rookie hiccups. That's bound to happen. Mm-hmm. They were displaying a lot of the attributes that Habs fans are excited about and what the scouts saw in them and why they were drafted and why they've been brought up to camp and why they expect them to make the roster this year. Justin Barron also played phenomenally, had some great moments walking the blue line. He's a very calm presence, often behind the opposition's net in the offensive zone. He'll pinch, come up, cycle the puck, get back to the blue line, receive the pass off of a board battle he won, and just slow it down, find a nice seam, pass it there, set up guys. Barron played phenomenally. Obviously, Mike Matheson was a big part of that. I think Mike Matheson was probably our best player that game.
He is so fucking fast.
Reminds me of a young Jeff Petrie. Really does.
Like, he put the burners on at some point in this game.
You're talking about when he drew the penalty?
I don't know if it's when he drew the penalty. I think we were already on a power play, or I don't know if we won the power play or not.
But he put the burners on quite a bit.
Yeah, like there was a lot of moments, but one of them, we were in our offensive zone, and one of the defensemen tipped it out, and he got the puck and he was taken off, and Matheson was like a good like three steps behind him and just ran, just smoked him, got up to him, stripped the puck, and kind of just threw it around the boards to, you know, in hopes that someone could grab it. But I was really impressed with his speed. I don't know, 25 minutes, that's pretty awesome for a first real look at him. What's that?
I don't think it was just his speed, but his agility. The crossovers he was making, he was very good behind the net and just accelerating from behind the blue line and just absolutely using that momentum to just push himself through the neutral zone. Had great vision, knew when to pinch, knew when to kind of lay back, check his man. Matheson was everywhere. And what I really loved, absolutely loved to see, was how he was looking to forcefully feed Caulfield on the power play, mm-hmm. which is how Caulfield scored, because Mike Matheson just dished a beautiful pass, one-timer. By the way, a horrible angle, but I think Caulfield, you know, this kid may score a few goals, hey? May score a few goals in the National Hockey League this year. But yeah, Matheson doing something that we were all screaming at Petrie for not doing last year, right?
Well, if they're constantly just sending it to Cole Caulfield, which...
Feed it to Cole Caulfield. He will score goals. If you pass him the puck, he will score. So I love seeing that from Matheson.
Absolutely. I still think that we're still a bit rudimentary on our power play, but it's good to see Caulfield utilized correctly on the correct side and him being the primary target. So
no, absolutely.
It's all a good work in progress.
And while the power play was, like you said, rudimentary is a nice way of putting it. I would say poor. It wasn't good. It wasn't, you know, we had a goal, but if we didn't score that goal due to Caulfield being Caulfield, we had a horrible power play that night. But I do think there was a lot to be seen that was positive and, you know, like a lot to be wishful and like, optimistic for, mm-hmm. because I do actually think our transition on the power play was improving. Our zone entries were better. They were getting in the zone. They were just messing up where people were supposed to be. And a large part of that is because I think the Habs have a lot more players now that are able to enter the zone. And a big one was Kirby Dach.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people on Twitter tonight shitting on his performance, saying he wasn't tough in the boards, all this.
He pinched. Hilarious. Some defenseman was trying to pinch him along the boards to enter the zone, and he took strides harder. And I mean, like, yeah, the guy like kind of stopped him for a second, but he he bulldozed, like he trucked right through him. Like the kid spiraled onto the fucking, onto the ice, and Kirby Doc continued pushing forward into the zone. So
what people have to understand is that I think it's hilarious because it's the same people. It's that mindset. I just think it's so stupid. They'll bitch about Josh Anderson playing too physically or Slafkovský only being physical. And, oh, you only like them because they're big. And then they see that Kirby Doc's 6'4", and they expect him to be, you know, just
to fit in that
on the boards. Doc is no pushover on the boards. Yes, he may be a little soft at times, but that's not his game. He uses his hands and his reach and his vision and his skating ability to make things happen. Doc is not a, you know, crash the boards, forecheck, gonna cream you, just nail you. And even that he did display that he could do that, he absolutely destroyed Andreas Janssen behind the behind the Devil's net. But his game is a finesse game. He's a skilled player. He was drafted third overall for a reason. So I don't want to see Doc sacrificing his offensive game to crush people on the boards all the time. I think he played phenomenally, and I think he adds, you know, and showed and displayed the type of player he is, which is a player that is great in transition, has good hands, and is going to flash skill that makes stuff happen. Like, people have to understand, this is, none of these guys have played together before. Some of them haven't played in a long time, and they're playing in a new system. It's not going to be perfect after the first game of preseason, but I loved what I saw from Kirby Doc. And if that's what we can get out of our 2C all season, because remember, Doc's not going to be playing against Nico Hischier every night, right?
Right.
He's going to be the second guy against the second center. Suzuki's going to have that matchup. Look, and I think it'll be great. And the chemistry I saw between him and Pitlick was, it was encouraging. They looked good together.
Rem Pitlick looked, honestly, he was one of my highlight players of the night. I feel like it was just another day for him. There was no cobwebs, really. He was fast. Great opportunities, great transitioning. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember shit off the top of my head. But no, I remember 32 would pop up on the screen and be like, wow, this kid's fucking flying. Or, you know, like great fucking play. And then I'm like, I go to think that it's not Rem Pitlick. And I there was like twice I fucking checked my phone just to see who it was. Cause I was like, okay, maybe we got like a 35 or something out there. And no, it's just Rem Pitlick, just smoothly, you know.
Rem Pitlick may be one of the most underrated additions to this team, because, you know, it looked like for a while we weren't going to sign him, and I was really upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's been forgotten in all the hype because we do have so many young wingers and forwards, but people forget Pitlick can play anywhere, left wing, right wing, center. And
he was our first. He was our first guy that was brought over by the new management, too.
We picked him up off waivers.
Yeah.
This guy had, what was it, like 37 points last year in 66 games, something like that?
Last year, he had 37 points in 66 games, 15 goals, 22 assists.
Yeah, it was phenomenal as a rookie. Now, he's an older rookie. He is 25, but he's not, like, he's 5'11", 196 pounds, fast, has great hands. He almost scored off of a rush chance just out of nowhere that he created by moving his feet fast, sorry, and skating hard.
Get this guy a fucking water.
The beer's not helping, I can't lie.
Sleeman.
Yeah, and you know, provides not only just power play, penalty kill, can play up and down your lineup. This is a player, and at the only the age of 25, this is a player that I think the Habs need to keep. He's gonna, you know, especially in a year, like the next couple of years, we're gonna have players going up and down the lineup. young guys trying to find where they need to play. Pitlick's play is not going to be hurt if he's taken off the second line or the third line or gets put on the fourth. He will play anywhere, and it's not going to affect him. So I think this is a great, you know, it's great to see that he still, you know, looks to pick up where he left off last year.
Right.
And I'm happy, really, really happy that Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton chose to re-sign this guy.
One guy that I wanted to point out, they said his name a whole fucking bunch. I feel like he played a pretty decent game. Anthony Richard.
Yeah, where did this guy come from?
Well, he came from fucking Tree Rivers.
ECHL and Laval. Drafted in the fourth round, I think, in like 2016,
something like it is 2015 Nashville pick, fourth round, ninth pick overall. So the 100th overall kid. He's been honestly in the AHL ever since. He's only got two games, one a year for Nashville, which I think was 18 and is I think it was 18, 19, and 19, 20. Really good numbers in the A, but you know what? His name was said a lot. He had a lot of great chances. He didn't, I don't think he recorded a shot on goal, but boy, was he sending them towards the net. Like, there were so many,
he's fast,
so many takeaways. Like, he, I think it was him and like a couple, they put like all the rookies together.
Him and Raphael Pignard and Philip Mayshar were on the line, and they were,
there were so many chances where it should have left our offensive zone, or it did, and like we immediately disrupted momentum and brought it back in. They were just unreal. And Anthony Richard, honestly, he should have got at least an assist. Like, the effort that he was putting was unreal. Like, he understood his assignment, you know, make an impact, and he honestly did. We might not have won, but for 12 minutes. And 2 minutes of that being shorthanded, he was really noticeable.
No, absolutely. I think he played phenomenally. I think he's really shown up in camp. I don't see a roster spot for him on the Habs, but I think he'll do well in Laval. And, you know, if he can continue to grow his game, then maybe, yeah, a call could be in his future. Definitely great to have guys like that, though, right? Like, he's going to...
Oh, absolutely.
He's going to push guys in the minors. He's going to be good. He's going to provide an option as a line mate, teammate. And it's nice to see those guys, the scrappy guys, kind of get a prolonged stay, prolonged look in training camp, because, you know, they worked really hard for it. The guy I want to mention, though, a lot of guys played great tonight, even though we lost. Lindy Ruff, by the way, is an absolute meathead for calling a fucking offside review in a preseason game with like 4 minutes left. Look, I wanted 3-on-3 overtime. This bald son of a bitch who's
gonna lose his
job,
but I don't appreciate that.
Calling a fucking, what's that?
I don't appreciate that.
You're bald by choice.
No, I am a 30-year-old thinning male. Who
Listen,
chooses not
at least
to look
you
like
shaved
absolute
yours off.
Shit.
Lindy's holding on. Lindy's holding on to absolutely fucking nothing.
I wish I had the balls to keep the sides on like Kevin on The Office. Like, I really wish I had the nuts to do that.
No, you don't.
I don't because I'm so afraid of how hideous it would look.
Well, anyway, sorry. I want to speak about Jan Mišák, who I actually think looked really, really, really good. Like, I think Mišák has been often forgotten. This is a guy who I speak about a lot, and I know we always say he's been forgotten. So people that listen to this podcast probably think, oh my God, you guys don't shut the fuck up about Jan Mišák. Look, but he's just so fucking good. He's 6 foot tall now. He's grown. Only 2 years ago, we drafted him. He was supposed to go in the first round. Absolutely owned the AHL last year. 34 goals, over a point per game. Going to play with Laval. And he just was everywhere tonight. Played well. Dominant at the World Juniors. 8 points in 7 games. Can play anywhere. Another one of those guys, which is very helpful in this system. And what I think gives Jan Mišák kind of an edge over some other guys, because, you know, we have a lot of wingers and we have a lot of centers. So if you can play anywhere and you're able to insert yourself in the lineup on any one of those three forward positions, it's very beneficial, especially for a team with many, you know, I don't want to say elite forward prospects, but, you know, they're credible. They have a chance of making the NHL. They're legit prospects. And I think just want to give Jan Mišák a shout out there too. But I think there is a guy drafted pretty highly that we should probably talk about here because we've kind of been avoiding it. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost, I think we have a message from our friends at DraftKings.
We sure do. The NFL action is in full swing here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100% with payouts bigger than ever. Why bet on football anywhere else? To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped up same game parlays once per game day. Jesus, all season long. Just don't be like our newest employee who at the last minute the other day dropped about $50 on Tampa Bay winning the game, and they didn't get the 2-point conversion. So suck it. But anyway, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. Mason, we got your favorite ad read coming up next, though, bud. We got to do both. I love this one. So we're back with our Raycon ad read. So lately, I personally have been listening to a lot of, and let me pull up my Spotify. Man, I've been back in the gym. So that means I've been listening to a lot of Trapped Under Ice. I love this fucking group. I guess it's just because I love the Ravens. Psych. No, this band's better than the Ravens. But Trapped Under Ice out of Baltimore, 2011 album Big Kiss Goodnight is still unfucking real. It's at 33 minutes long. Everyone knows Pleased to Meet You, but Born to Die, Jail, Victimized, fucking True Love, Disconnect, unreal fucking songs. The whole album is perfect for the gym. It's not too crazy, just enough to get the fucking blood pumping. Makes me run at the gym. Mason, what type of country we listening to today, buddy?
I've been listening to a lot of different music lately, actually. But of course, you know, I am usually on my country grind, and I've been listening to a lot of Colter Wall, as like I said last week, but also Warren Zeiders. And it sounds fucking awesome on my Raycons, so I enjoy
anyway
studying, loving it. So thank you, Raycon. Thank you, DraftKings. And
we're not done. I don't know why you keep trying to do this. It's been great, though. One reason it's been great to listen to, because I use my Raycons wireless earbuds to do it. Raycons everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever with optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit. These earbuds are so comfortable and they will not budge. Trust me, I'm going to use them tomorrow when I put kegs in the Superdome. But Raycons give you 8 hours of playtime. That's massive. And 32-hour battery life when, you know, you're not just completely listening to the same album like I do all day. Raycons are priced just right. You get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. It's no wonder Raycons everyday earbuds have over 50,000 five-star reviews. My favorite things about them, obviously, I say it every fucking time, noise isolation. I don't want to hear my fucking boss griping about just dumb bullshit. I have initiative and I am utilizing my time appropriately. But the earbud tap function, I hate pulling my fucking phone out of my pocket. I'm afraid to drop it or mess it up, or my hands are dirty and I don't want to touch my phone. It is nice to be able to just pop my earphone and it work. Anyway, fucking go to buyraycon.com today and use code THPN15 to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's code THPN15 at buyraycon.com to score 50% off. Buyraycon.com, code THPN15. Mason.
I'm sorry. I will get that ad read down eventually. It's still kind of new to me, so I forget. But yes, thank you, Raycon. Thank you, DraftKings.
You're doing a great job.
What's that?
I said you're doing a great job.
Thank you, buddy. Now, let's talk about Slaff. Where do you want to, you know, let me get your initial thoughts. I I know there was a lot of hate for his game on Twitter, but Corey, what'd you see, buddy?
I thought he played a very good game. I don't think he was the most noticeable, but he was very effective. He had a great takeaway, two pretty strong hits. They gave him ample time. I mean, he got 17 minutes total. They gave him 4 minutes on the power play. Could he have been noticed more? Could he have done more? Sure. But I mean, I think he played pretty well. I thought the first period he was a little tight. I felt period two he had loosened up a good bit. I thought it was a decent game. I mean, it's preseason. It's his first NHL game. There's going to be a bit of jitters. I'd rather him get him out in the preseason.
No, absolutely. I think, I don't think he played a horrible game, because there were flashes of puck carrying ability.
Great vision. Net front presence.
I hate that, though. I can't lie. Get Slack
like parking him.
He's our first overall.
No. I'm saying because he's parking it in front of
him as a fucking a pick in front of the goalie. Okay. I want to see him on the puck. When he did get on the puck, he had a nice shot. He made some nice passes. Do not Zdeno Chara him and have him sit in front of the fucking goalie. Okay. Okay. Try him elsewhere first. Let's not immediately put him there. Okay.
Yeah.
Is you can't have your first overall pick doing that. I know there are some guys, very few, who have made a career out of standing in front of the net like that, but they're like so few. I can't name a high profile star player that sits in front of the net, like maybe Landeskog, okay, but even then you'll see him leave, get on the boards, etc. If you want to put him in the bumper, maybe, okay. But I hated that. I did not like that at all. He didn't get enough touches on the puck. And I think Slafkovský's biggest issue, in my humble opinion, has been his inability to get the puck. He needs, and because when he gets it, he's lost it a bunch. I get that. He's made some decisions that I don't agree with. He's a puck-dominant player. So we saw the World. So we saw the Olympics. So we saw in the rookie tournament, Slaf did best when he had the puck on his stick, because, you know, as much as we've heard about the goal scoring ability, whatever, he's a facilitator and he creates a lot of his own chances based on the fact and chances for others based on the fact that he is such a big, fast presence that he draws defenders towards him. He's not drawing anyone towards him when he doesn't have the puck. So that was my big issue. And I'm not saying most of the blame doesn't go to Slaf. He didn't play great. He played okay. He played average. I don't think he played as good as some people think. I don't think he played as bad as some people think. There was absolutely zero flash. But at the end of the day, it's the first game of preseason. I'm not that worried. I'm really not. Mm-hmm. Would it have been nice if he came out and scored a hat trick? Abso-fucking-lutely. It didn't happen. Who cares? Okay, let's move on. There's plenty of time to see what happens. And if he ends up in Laval, I think that might be best for his development. We'll see. So I don't know. I think I was disappointed with Slafkovský's game, but do I think it's the end of days? Absolutely not.
No, that's fair. I'm just because I said he had a lot of net front presence. Like you said, though, I don't want to see him just throwing the big guy in front. I think he brings a little bit more than just that. But I just felt like he had a pretty overall pretty decent game as far as like he was everywhere. Like he did a bit of net front, a bit of cycling. He was kind of everywhere, and I feel like he literally used his game to try a lot of different things. So I'm not upset with him. I was a little concerned in his interview after the first period. He was a little gassed, and I was like, I've seen what this kid can do on a bike. He shouldn't be this gassed. But no, I thought he played
pretty good. I liked his hustle though.
Yeah. No. He was quick. He was
great on the back check. I think that might have been the best aspect of his game tonight. Mm-hmm. No. Like he was consistently back there to break up plays and help the D.
Pressure it. I just think I mean we said this a little bit before we started. I think there's a lot of people that are still not settled in to accepting that he's on this team. And they're just every small thing that he does is going to be that much more critiqued. And I mean, fuck, dude. Habs Twitter's been disgusting since last season.
Just a cesspool of toxic, negative opinions.
Yeah.
But something, maybe sad, but a little brighter, a little lighthearted, because it was someone that brought a lot of positivity, a lot of shine to the Habs community. I will wrap things up here just by saying, listen, I grew up watching Habs hockey with John Liu on TSN 2. Had a beautiful ring to it, and John Liu had a beautiful perspective and a beautiful way of speaking to the players and telling a story. He was a great journalist. He was a great interviewer, and he is beloved, rightfully so, by myself and many other Habs fans. For 15 years. So I'm 20. So since I was 5 years old, I watched John Liu present the Habs and do a phenomenal job becoming iconic in this city among fans and players. Unfortunately, we learned today, John Liu, as well as Dan Robertson, will both be headed off Winnipeg to join coverage there. Look, this is a huge blow. Not only first we learned about Dan Robertson, that's awful, but John Liu too, in particular. I just want to say thank you, John. You've inspired a generation of Habs fans, not only just in your journalism, but for your positivity. We saw you go through some rough times with your sister. You stayed positive. COVID really hit your family, and through it all, we could turn on the TV Saturday night. John Liu was there to tell us a story, to ask the players questions, and do a great job at it. So just thank you for 15 years of hard work and commitment. And from Habs Nightly to you, we appreciate all you've done and wish you the best in Manitoba.
That hurts my heart. I was at the gym, and I looked up at one of the televisions, and John Liu was on it, and I was so confused, but yet so, I guess because I just, he was on, he was basically on my television a lot when I was in college and shit like that. And I just looked up, I was like, oh, it's John Liu. And then, a couple of seconds later, it hit me, why the fuck is John Liu on in a St. Bernard Parish television? And it just, they had ESPN2 on, and he was covering, the Montreal, whatever the CFL team name is. Sorry, I forgot it. I know it's
somewhere. Montreal Alouettes.
Alouettes. And I was like, oh, look, John Liu's on. And I did a double take, and I was like, why is he on my television? I'm not at home. That's a face I know in my house, not just in a gym in Chalmette. And I was just so happy. It's like, wow, man, this dude's honestly everywhere. And then I hear that shit, and it's so heartbreaking to me, because John Liu, when I started working in the bars, you know, he was, well, I'm not going to say, you know, the face of it, but he was who I was getting all of, you know, like if I wanted to catch up with the team, it was John Lu telling me, you know, it's going to be a tough, it's going to be tough without him. He was definitely a fan favorite. I loved him. I thought he was a great, he was a great fit for this team. And nothing but best wishes moving forward. I just hate to see him go.
Absolutely. So we thank you, John Lu, for all you've done. And we want to thank you guys for coming by, listening to us talk. We appreciate it. And we appreciate your patience with the delays, obviously. Corey, unless you have anything else to add, I think that'll be it for today.
I have one more thing. Sorry. I didn't get on Twitter to talk about it because it really hurt me. Have a great retirement, Parnell Carl Subban. Honestly,
oh yes,
he like revitalized my love for the Montreal Canadiens. Same thing with like John Lou, as he was like one of the first people I met when I started getting back into it and like seeing games after, you know, my time away from hockey due to like Hurricane Katrina. We didn't have shit like that, but like once I started working in the bars again, like my love of hockey just like re-blossomed. And PK Subban is 2 years older than me. I know some people are like, that's weird. Why would you look up to him? But I mean, fuck, dude. Like, I was so hyped that they were getting him. And, you know, he was one of, he was the first jersey I bought with my own money, you know, as an adult. Just PK Subban means a lot to me. You know, I met Dave and Heather, who are like my fucking Canadian parents that live in New Orleans. And the only reason I know them is because I, you know, playing against Boston, I'm wearing my PK Subban jersey, and fucking Dave's like, are you kidding me? And I thought he was going to make fun of me. And he was like, dude, I'm like the biggest Montreal Canadiens fan. I'm from Toronto. Like, just so much has stemmed from that. And, you know, to have him, you know, leave our team, he gets traded. I mean, this dude was a Norris. He won the Norris at 23. Unreal playoff presence, just unreal person. You know, like the things he does outside of the game is just unreal. But, you know, to lose him in Montreal, devastating. I got my fucking tattoo above my knee, and I always say that the jersey on my cat, my late cat, is a fucking Subban jersey. He moves to Nashville. That hurt so fucking bad, but I was like, you know what? I have so many roots in Tennessee from having the cabin there for so long. This is I can't wait to just love Nashville that much more. Exciting guy, and I just hope that he really enjoys his retirement. I'm sure he's gonna be on one network. It would be awesome if they put him on TNT with the rest of the, you know, the all-star fucking cast they have, but I'm sure he's going to go to like NHL. I think that's where he does most of his shit, or TSN. I'm not sure, but I'm sure some type of personality is coming in the future for him. So best wishes. I miss the fuck out of PK Subban.
No, absolutely. All the best in retirement. We thank you guys for stopping by listening to Habs Nightly this week. We will be back again next week to talk more hockey. We'll have a bunch of preseason games we'll get to analyze. As always, sorry for that. I am hoping I'm done with this fucking flu by then.
This guy, what is that? A sucrète? Isn't that what you like to use? Get this guy a sucrète.
Yes, sucrète. As always, you can find us at Habs Nightly on Twitter and at the Bayou Benders on Twitter. So always give us a follow. You'll get updates and get the live tweets on the game. Games, you know, we're always saying some stupid shit on Twitter. If you can't get enough of us on here, so we appreciate all the support. Once again, thank you. We'll talk to you guys next week. See ya.
If you have anything to say to us, I finally did it. We have a email for y'all to send. I know it's tough to just say follow us on Twitter. We have an email, you guys. It's Habs. You know how to spell Habs. The word nightly, Habs Nightly Pod, pod@gmail.com. Send us shit. I feel like we'll get much more stuff than just hoping that a bunch of people decide to download the Twitterverse and get looped into that madness. But we have a fucking Gmail now. So send us stuff there and we'll answer questions or bring it up on the pod. Thank y'all so much.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.